The other thing that is happening next Sunday, March 17th, is one of our visions as we come together is building a bigger foundation of prayer. We're here Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. It's an open prayer meeting. You're all invited to join us. Just be aware that we are praying. There's opportunities Friday mornings to be part of prayer. There's opportunities on Monday mornings to be part of prayer. Sunday mornings, obviously, we're praying. But we're expanding that foundation of prayer through what we call a prayer watch. And it's a 12-hour nonstop time of prayer and worship. And we're using the choir room that's located right behind the baptistry there. If you've never been in that room, you can walk down the hallways and find it. But starting next Sunday at 8 a.m. all the way till 8 p.m., it'll involve both our services. So we'll be in here at 10:30 a.m. and then back in here at 6 p.m. But during the other times of the day, there are worship watch leaders and intercessors. Last week, we handed out some notes about different focus points that we'll be praying throughout the day. You can show up anytime for any duration. We've made sure that there will be people here. We'll be using the south entrance door on the side of the building. You'll see a sign when you come into the parking lot to join us in prayer. And again, the purpose of that is to broaden our foundation of what God can say and do in our life and give us insight and understanding to what he wants to do in us and through us for heaven to be established on earth. Amen. So join us. It starts at 8, and we'll go, we'll gather in here again at 10:30, as I mentioned, and then we'll close the evening off by gathering in here at 6 and going from 6 to 8 for a 12-hour worship watch. Amen? Awesome. So we pray for pastors and other churches around here, and so this week we're praying for Cottonwood Creek Church and Pastor James Lindstrand. And then we're also praying for missionaries and John and Beth Wilson that are involved in the Royal Rangers International campaign that's part of Assembly of God, and we're going to pray for them. And so as we pray for our tithe and offering, remember them this week. And the other thing I shared with you last week that I'm going to continue to remind you to pray for is I bet each and every one of us drive by at least one church in our valley a day, either on the route to home or to your workplace. And it would be my hope, and it's our hope as we contend for unity in our valley, that you would get to know the name of the pastor of that church and pray for that church. Whatever you feel about them or know about them, we are called to pray and intercede for one another, and they're preaching the gospel, and so we want to be praying for them. If you do not know them, come find us. We'll look them up, and we may know them personally, or we keep a database of all our churches because we pray for them regularly. So with that, would you bow your hearts? Ushers, I want to invite you forward this morning. Lord, you are good. You are faithful, and we are discovering how to love you more and therefore live more in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for Pastor James and his family and the ministry of Cottonwood Creek Church. Father, we thank you for the commitment that John and Beth Wilson have made, Lord, to Royal Rangers, being a part of preaching the gospel to young men, young boys, and showing them a life in you. And so we give you the glory and praise this morning. Father, we also thank you, Lord, for the offering. It is our prayer that, Lord, as we raise our standard of prayer and intercession, we would also raise, Lord, our intentionality in giving of finances, resources, times, and talents. And so we bless you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the faithfulness that we've seen in our giving and in the giving of the members of Valley and Hope. And we ask for the wisdom to direct those funds to continue to preach the gospel and administer the love of Christ everywhere we go. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Bless the person next to you. Grab the Bible that you walked in with or in your pew, and let's welcome Pastor Mike this morning.
Thanks. Hey, real quick, not real quick, but it's good to have our daughter Amy here.
Yes.
Right, yeah, and there's this little lad named Simon Michael. Hi, Simon. Okay, service is over. I'm hanging out with Simon. Grandpa's prerogative. Last weekend, we had our live weekend, and we had five people go. It was about 20 hours from Friday night to Sunday evening. We spent about 20 hours together, and I'm telling you what, it was dynamic. It was amazing, and I'm going to share a little bit about this morning, but we want to honor those who give the investment and the time to be there, and so would Eva McClare, would you come? Eva, she was part of our weekend, and we just want to honor you and say thank you for being a part of it with us, and I tell you what, man, she is an amazing woman, and we just want to honor what God is doing in her life.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Gail Driver, she was part of it as well. And Gail, would you come? And we want to say thank you. Would you guys come over here? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but did you enjoy the weekend? I mean, was it?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can we bless these ladies? There's two people. One came from Vegas. I'll be mentioning him in just a moment. We had a pastor from Vegas come. We had another pastor from another part of our area come. And then Marnie from Hope Chapel came, so we're going to honor her tonight. But can we bless these ladies? And Lord, we thank you for the journey, and we bless them, and we bless what you're doing in and through their lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Yay. So say it with me, let's go. That's our theme, our anthem for 2000. Oh, where are you going? Oh, he's going. Let's go. See you later. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Let's go. Dean, let's go, man. Let's go. And so that's our anthem. And sometimes let's go can mean like we're going to do more, we got to be more active. And that could be, but that's not really the focus point. The let's go is, and this is going to be our journey for the next few weeks, probably till Easter, is let's go in freedom. Let's go. Let's not spend another day, week, month, year, and say one of these days I'm going to. Let's go. And sometimes it's like, I don't know how to get there. Well, we're going to help. Today's an introduction. I keep it about 20, 22 minutes right there because I've discovered that the mind can only receive as much as the seat can endure. And so I feel I'm trying to be more focal point, more focused, because God's word is great. It doesn't take 50 minutes to an hour to communicate God's word. God is very good at his word comes alive like that, right? And there might be times where we'll go longer, but right this season, we're doing this. So we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. But let me tell you a couple stories as we get there. I was a young man, probably 17, 18, and an evangelist came to our church and told this story. And he read this in the New York Times, and it was about this lion that was raised in captivity. And this lion from a cub was put inside a 12 by 12 foot cage. It was before the zoos had these big, big places for them to roam. And so this lion was in a 12 by 12 foot cage, and this lion would walk back and forth, 12 steps this way, 12 steps this way, year after year, 12 steps this way, 12 steps this way. Well, toward the end of the life of the lion, the people who ran the zoo thought it would be awesome to let him spend his last few years roaming and roaring and running. And so they found this place that was like a man-made safari type place where the lion could roam free and be free for the rest of his days. And so they called the media. There were newspapers, there were all these people gathering, and they backed the truck up to release the lion. And they opened up the compartment where the lion was that they traveled with, and the lion walked out, and everyone cheered because you're going to spend the rest of your days free and roaming and everything like this. And here's what the lion did. 12 steps this way, 12 steps this way, 12 steps this way, 12 steps this way. But because the lion had freedom, it didn't mean he was free. And though there were no more bars, in its mind there were bars that kept it in these parameters, 12 by 12. Nelson Mandela was a great leader who challenged apartheid in Africa, South Africa. And he said these words. He said this: as I walked out the door toward the gate, he was put in prison, Robben Island, a really notorious bad prison in Africa. As he was released from prison, here's what he said. I should put that context. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. What I'm discovering, dear ones, in my life and the lives of other people is this, is that we can be free, but not really. That we're still bound by fears, insecurities, unwilling to challenge or go after new things because what if I fail? I mean, it's endless on what we can be bound by and not even realize we are not really free the way in which Christ said, I have come to set you free. And in our study, there's two questions that we have to answer that's going to determine the trajectory of our life. There's two questions. And it began in Genesis, and it happened in Luke and Matthew 4. Here's the two questions that our answer to these questions will determine where are we going to go in life. And that's a big statement, But I believe we're going to back it up in the next few weeks. The first question is this. It was given to Eve when God, when the Satan said to Eve, did God really say? We've got to be able to answer that question. Did God really say that you're forgiven? Did God really say that he loves you without condition? Did God really say that I'm your healer? I'm your provider? I'm your protector? Did God really say? Their answer to that question is going to affect the trajectory of your life. The second question that we have to answer was given to Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 when Satan again asked this question, if you are the Son of God, it had to do with identity. That if we don't understand our identity, who we are, really, then we are living in a place of compensation. We're living in this place where we walk with this, I'm not sure of who I am in God. I'm not sure of who I am in my life. And what those two questions, our answers to those two questions can determine, am I really free? Are we really free? Are we living in a land that says, man, everything's possible, but we're walking 12 steps this way, 12 steps this way. Where we keep going back to fears, where we keep going back to substance, we keep going back to, okay, my issue is when I'm not doing well, do you know what my number one comfort is? Food. Being honest with you. That when I am struggling, my mouth wants to open and just, I'm not even hungry. I'm just going pop, 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 pop. And after I have done all that, do you know how good I feel about myself? Awesome. Especially with a lot of sugar, right? We all have things in which we go after to compensate instead of walking in the true freedom for which Christ has set us free. This is what we're saying, let's go. Let's go. Mike, I'm saved. That's okay. Let's go. Mike, I know the word. That's okay. Let's go. And then we're going to learn about that in Nehemiah. Now, one of the reasons I am so committed, last week we were gone. We spent about 20 hours in 3 days. The reason I'm so committed to this thing, we call it Zealots. We're actually going to change the name because I don't like the name. And the person who put it together said, go ahead, change the name if you don't like it. So we're going to do something else. I just don't like the name. But the reason I miss a Sunday, we open our home. We have spent 3 days with about 5 or 6 people is because I have experienced the greatest freedom of my entire life. And I have been a Christian since I was a young man. And I have been a pastor since I was in my 20s. And today I am walking in the greatest freedom I've ever known. Pastor Jeff asked this question to our leadership team yesterday. He said, what was the best year of your life? What was the best year? And I wrote down 55. That's the age I'm at right now. This is the best time of my life because I am experiencing freedom that I was only taught about. I'm actually living in freedom. Now, is there more? Absolutely. There's always more. And I love when Deb and I got married. I love when our kids were born. I love when Simon came into the world. Hi, Simon. You know, that's my grandson over there. Yeah, okay. I love that. It was great. But the condition of my heart and freedom right now is I am being a transformed person because I am walking in so much freedom. And I want you guys to as well. So how do we get there? The book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an Old Testament story, picture that actually happened. It took place. And that picture, that story represents today in the New Testament, in our day, how God will work in our lives to bring us toward freedom. So what happened? Let me quick background. Today is just an introduction. Next week, we're going to have our worship time. Our following Sunday, we'll continue this study. But what happened was Israel had disobeyed God for generations. And finally, God said, it's time. I can't do this anymore. And a king called Nebuchadnezzar came in and just ransacked Jerusalem, tore the walls down, destroyed the temple, burned the gates, took the people of Judah and transferred them to Babylon. And they became exiles into another nation. 40 years later, another king named Darius. Here's the word of God. Here's what God is saying. And he allows some exiles to go back into Jerusalem. And a guy named Zerubbabel. Say that with me. Zerubbabel. Say it again. Zerubbabel. Say it 5 times fast. Zerubbabel. Right? Can't. Okay. Zerubbabel. I love that name. In fact, if we ever have another child, Deb, we're going to name him Zerubbabel. We're pretty safe because we're not going to have another child, right? So Zerubbabel, right? He takes these exiles from Babylon back to Jerusalem and that Judah. And the first thing they do is they start to rebuild the temple. And as they start to rebuild the temple, the people who now came to occupy Jerusalem after the Israelites were kicked out, they're saying, I don't think so. And so for 18 years, they keep the Israelites from building the, rebuilding the temple. And finally, the king sends an edict, said, let them rebuild the temple. And they do, and they rebuild this temple. Now, the temple was important because the temple represented where God's presence would dwell. It's where they would worship God, okay? Now, what does that mean for us today? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says that, don't you know that you are the temple of the living God?
That's right.
Okay? So when you see the temple in the Old Testament, we in the New Testament now represent the presence and the worship of God. So when this was rebuilt, this was a huge milestone for Israel that they got to rebuild the temple, the presence of God. They got to worship again, the sacrifices, okay? So Old Testament, New Testament. So they rebuild the temple. Everyone celebrates. Some people cry, but the temple's rebuilt, the worship of God. Now, 60 years after that, there's a priest by the name of Ezra. Ezra was in Babylon, and he gets some more exiles, and he brings them back to Jerusalem and to Judah. There he recognizes they don't know God's word. They don't know how to live. So Ezra begins to teach them how to live according to God's word. So now we are about 80 years or so since they go back, 85 years, and Ezra begins to teach them, here's what God's word looks like. Here's how we're to live. Here's how we're to grow. So you got people, New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and then we have the word of God, and we learn what God says about us. We learn his word and understand about forgiveness and about relationships and so forth, okay? So, everybody okay, by the way? Okay, 13 years after this, this guy named Nehemiah comes onto the scene. His book, it was written by Ezra. He's come onto the scene, and we're going to read Nehemiah chapter 1. It's on page 750 in my Bible. But let's look real quick. We're going to read four verses, do a couple of comments, and we're going to be done. So now Nehemiah, he's the cupbearer to the king Xerxes was his dad. It's Xerxes. Let's call him Bill, shall we? So Nehemiah had an important job. He would eat the food, drink the wine before the king, so that if anybody tried to kill the king, he would die before the king. So Nehemiah's job was to make sure the wine was put together well and the food was put together well, because he doesn't want to die either. So he was the right hand to the king all the time, and the king had a great trust for Nehemiah. So let's look, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hechaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, the palace of the king, that is, Hanani, one of my brothers, either could be a biological brother or just a brother Jew, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. So here's the report. How's it going in Jerusalem? How is everybody doing? Remember, temple's built. Ezra's preaching the word, so that part's in place, so they must be doing well. Here's the report. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. Why are they in great trouble and disgrace? The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. So when Nehemiah finds out, asks what's going on, he said, there's great trouble. I looked up the Hebrew word for great, and here's what it means. Great. There you go. That's all I got. Okay. The word trouble and disgrace. Trouble means this: bad, unpleasant, misery, sad, unhappy, giving pain. The temple is built. They're worshiping God. Ezra's teaching the word, but it's unpleasant. It's bad. They're in misery, and it's giving them pain. The second thing, the word of disgrace means this: reproach, scorn, or this. The condition of shame. So what's going on? Here's my thesis for you guys in the next few weeks. You and I can be very, very loved by God, followers of Christ, begin to know his word, and we can still live in pain and shame. Let's go. What would people think if they knew this about me? What would people think if they really knew me? What about the pain I've caused? What about the pain I've been in? Let's not tell anybody. We don't have walls, physical walls. And by the way, this is not a political sermon. We don't have walls. We don't have gates. But these represent areas of brokenness in our life where our thinking, our behaviors, our attitudes are not impacted as much by what God says about us and what God tells us who we are, but by our pain, which leads to shame. And we use words like, oh, I'm just worried. I'm just afraid of what. Dear ones, we can become so accustomed to living in pain and shame, we don't even see it anymore. We don't even recognize it. It becomes so normalized in our lives. God loves us so much, he refuses to allow you to live there. So what does he do? In John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands. Now here's what he says. It's not, if you love me, right, obey me, and then I'll love you. It's a love relationship that when I'm in love with God, of course I'm going to do what he says, because I know what he says and I know who I am. I love him. And he says, I will give you another counselor. And that word means comforter, intercessor, go-between, counselor. It's basically God will come through the person, God the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you comfort and counsel and care. Well, the name Nehemiah in the Old Testament means this, Yahweh comforts, or the comfort of Yahweh. Nehemiah is a picture of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to get us to that point of true freedom. So as we study his life and we study his letter, we're going to find, how can you and I truly walk in freedom? And I'm not talking about I'm an American, I can do whatever I want. I'm a hand of the free and home of the brave. I'm not talking about that, because we, even Americans, we have this freedom, but we are bound by so much fear. Turn on the news. And dear ones, I am so passionate about this because I'm living it right now. And I want every person I come in contact with to say, you do not have to live in shame or pain. Now, the thing that everyone in this room has in common is this. We all know pain, every one of us. Luke chapter 4, the first sermon that Jesus preached was this. The anointing is on my life to set captives free and to release prisoners. It's about all about freedom. You and I can relate to both. We are people who are prisoners. So a prisoner is someone who's done something wrong and you get caught. We have all done something wrong. It's called sin. We have all said something. We've all done something. We've all missed the mark. We have caused pain in the other people's lives. Come on, let's be honest about it. We're not all the victims here. We're perfect and everybody else is evil. No, we have caused pain in everybody's life. Will somebody have the courage to say yeah to that? Okay? So we have caused pain. We're the prisoner. Jesus said, I have come to set you free. He also has come to set captives free. What's a captive? A captive is in the wrong place at the wrong time. You didn't do anything wrong. Someone else did it to you. That's the nation of Israel. These people who are coming back to Jerusalem, they did nothing wrong. It's about 140 years later. The people who caused the problem are dead, but they're living with the consequences of somebody else's choice. And we've all experienced that. Where you get the thing, you're fired, you're not welcome here anymore. The divorce happens, the child says, I hate you, I never want to see you again. We have all this stuff with pain. We get it. God says, I have come to set you free, so that though you've experienced these things in a real way, they don't give you the trajectory of your life. And Nehemiah shows how to do it. Am I speaking to Mike only, or is anybody else here say, yeah, maybe. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just say no. Right? Does it resonate within your heart? Does there something resonate in your heart? Go, man, I know there's something more. Guys, this is not, don't read the fine print. I'm not selling you anything. I'm living out what I want to share with you guys, a true freedom. And I have been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I get it. I've been in church. I was raised in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Monday. I went to church almost every day of my life. I have been here. I'm a churchman. I love the church. And yet, sitting in a pew, hearing a sermon, even wanting God's freedom, did not bring it to me until I understood the pathway to freedom. And man, I want you all to experience it. I am not fully there yet, but I sure love the trajectory of my life right now. I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do. And right now, the clothes I wear as a pastor, if I was a greeter at Walmart, I would be the same exact person, because this is what I do. It's not who I am. I know who I am. And I'm telling you what, it is awesome. And I've had most Christians in my life, they have no clue. Well, they know they're a son of God, a daughter of God. They get it. But really at the core of who they are, who's the two questions? Can I really believe God And really, what does he say? Who does he say I am? When those questions are answered, you are free. I'm sorry, I'm just laughing. It's a good news. So I've got 3 minutes. The gates of the city, what does this have to do with us? The gates of the city were not just a place of access. The gates that were burned down, they weren't just in and out. The gates of the city were used for relationships. So put it today, how are your relationships? The gates represent healthy relationships. Some of us, we don't even know what that means. That's okay, let's learn. Healthy relationships, where we are living according to not just our past relationships, but we're learning what healthy boundaries look like. We're looking at what healthy communication looks like. It's like healthy responses. How do healthy relationships look like? Secondly, it's where decisions are made. The gates were decisions. How are we at making good decisions? What I've discovered, you make good decisions, life usually works out pretty good. One of the things I taught our children was this: you never have to recover from a good decision. Think about it. You never have to recover from a good decision. If you make a bad one, what's the best decision you can make now? And if you don't know what a good decision is, let's learn. Let's grow. Let's discover. Let's get on that trajectory of let's go. Let's find out. The gates also was a place of authority. Authority is not the dominant. The authority is how life works, where children don't order the parents around. And I've seen that way too often. Little Junior wants his way, and mommy and daddy just let him have it. No. Did I ever tell you the story? I had this couple in Vegas come to me, and they said, would you pray for us? And I said, okay, what am I praying about? Our son doesn't want to come to church. I go, okay, how old is your son? He's 5. And I said this. I said, I will not pray for you. Get his butt in the car and get him to church. You're the parent. Is it okay I said butt in church? I could have said something else, but I'm going to stay away with butt, okay? Get your kid's butt in church. You're the adult. And learning proper respect to authority is part of gates being burnt down. That we understand what a proper authority is. It's not dominant. It's not where someone controls someone else, but it's proper honor and respect to authority. That's what happened at the gates. Also, the daily life was conducted at the city gate. Conversations, people, it was the Starbucks of the day. Hey, let's go get Starbucks, have coffee. It was, let's go to the gates and let's talk. How's your life going? What's going on? What's taking place in the city? It's where communication happened. It's this place at the city gate. See how it impacts all of our lives. And if the gates are burned, now we don't have healthy boundaries, healthy expressions of relationships, authority, decision-making processes, and how then we're not really free. And I can be a very saved Christian going to a very real heaven, still walk in 12 by 12 cage that's not existent except right here. Court was held. Justice was meted out. Important matters were discussed. Issues concerning individuals as well as whole communities resolved. It's a place where we deal with problems. It's a place where we can find wholeness. So this is where we're going. Let's go. If you say, okay, give me a little grace here. Grace means give me a little understanding here, because I don't say this with any kind of judgment. I really don't. But I'm going to say something with a little bit of strength here. I'm going to have something with a little bit of oomph to it. If you say, Mike, my life is perfect, can I just lovingly say, the Greek for that is, right? That all of us have areas of life where we're still bound by our upbringing, factors that were outside of our control, decisions that were made that we had no idea why they happened, but they impacted our lives today. He has come, Jesus, set captives free and to release prisoners. So if you're that person who's caused problems, you are not out. Jesus invites you, I want to set you free. If you're that person who's, man, how come it always happens to me? Jesus wants to set you free so that you walk in true freedom. It's not based on my opinion. It's based upon what he says. What are the two questions? Did God say? And who am I? You answer those questions well, and your life goes like this. Instead of going here or here, you go, and you take off. Because until those questions are answered, nothing else will be taking place in a healthy way. So would you say these two words with me? Let's go. I don't care if you're 80. Let's go now. I don't care. Let's go now, Bob. Bob, let's go now. How many will just say it? Come on, let's go. Let's go. Stand with me, if you will. Pastor Jeff. Oh, by the way, just explain. We're trying some different stuff. Okay, so just full disclosure, this guy is awesome. He is. He really is. Here's what I've discovered about me, okay? I think I'm an okay teacher of the word. I think I'm pretty good at explaining it. But when it comes to that point of response, I don't do that very well. I never have. And so I just don't have that gifting. So instead of trying to be everything, he's got gifting that way. No pressure. He's got gifting that way, right? So why don't we let his gifting operate here when I just don't feel gifted in that area? Right? And then we'll just let him do that part. And I'm going to go on the piano and I'm going to play some music behind him. And why not?
But I'm not going to sing. That's still his part. I don't sing. Amen. One of the convictions that we're having here as we examine the body of Christ is an activation of our faith. And that's really what Pastor Mike is saying, is that each and every one of us have a trajectory right now that we're on. And so we're going to pray and ask, Holy Spirit, what changes need to happen in my life for it to come into alignment with you? If we notice right now something in the word that was spoken, something that was said, whether it came to the decisions we're making, the authority that we're under, the authority we're exercising, the relationship, the depth of where we believe Christ in the moment, if that needs to be adjusted, God is so good with his loving, graceful manner to just come and nudge us. But it requires a response. It requires us to say, Lord, please do that in my life. I welcome you to do that. And so I'm going to ask that each of us we're just going to take a few minutes and then we'll release you. But just take a moment and just bow your heart before the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to show me the alterations that need to be made in my life to understand what you want to do in me and through me. Show me the gates of my life that need to be built, to be restored. Father, help me to make better decisions that become good decisions. And let me just start by asking if any of you are here this morning and the decision of letting Jesus Christ be Lord and Savior of your life has not been made. The decision of understanding the significance of any change in our life that is eternal starts with Jesus. Would you respond by just raising your hand and saying, I want to make that decision first. I am making that. I see your hand. Bless you. I see your hand. Bless you. I see your hand. In the name of Jesus, we are agreeing with you that today Jesus is Lord and Savior. And the necessary changes in your life are going to flow out of that relationship with him. That the confession of saying, Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior, is going to change the trajectory of your life in such a manner that now good decisions are going to be understood. That relationships and the necessity of relationships to do the right thing, to respond in the right mindset, to let transformation happen, is going to change your life because Jesus is good. And in his goodness, and in his establishment as Lord and Savior in your life, things are going to change. So we bless you this morning. And we invite you, for those of you that raised your hand, those of you that are recognizing this decision, that are coming back to this place where Christ is made Lord and Savior, where the willingness to respond to the word this morning, to recognize, sometimes I fall when the question of, who are you, Lord? Did you really say, who am I? When I fall to the ways of the world, to the circumstances of life, rather than fall into your love. We've made a decision today to say yes and amen to you, Lord. And for the rest of you, the rest of us, excuse me, I'm involved in this. I want to invite you to have an opportunity this morning to activate a faith by engaging in relationship with one another. that when we're all done and I dismiss you here in a moment, you can come and receive prayer. You can come and ask somebody to specifically join you in a particular area of your life where you know the Lord is saying, let's change this. Let's deal with it. Let's find freedom. Let's change the pattern of 12 steps this way, 12 steps that way, to now we're in a full marathon run. Yeah. And so, Holy Spirit, again, we thank you for the comfort, for the leading, for the encouragement to examine these areas where you want to see us walk in freedom this morning. So we give you the glory and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I pray that as you go out, that you're going to love more and live more. That your let's go response is simply, Lord, thank you for the love that you've shown me. I'm going to show it to others. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, Veronica, come on forward. We're just letting the Lord minister to us.
Gave me, well, 2:9. And I think it really is an amen to Pastor's sermon. You say you want the new wine, but you won't let go of the old wine skin. You say you want my spirit, but you allow the spirit of this world to enter in. You say you want my fullness, but you settle for the status quo. You say it's not all bad. It was good enough for mom and dad. And if I let go of that, it will make them sad. So you continue on, accepting so much less than what I have for you. You sit here just as you were when I say go. I call you out like Abraham to leave what you have known. I say go. Will you go or will you stay? Will you enter into my new day? The fullness waits for you. The clouds moved on. The fires moved on. Will you go or will you stay? The Spirit calls to you to welcome you into my new day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Veronica. So we respond in faith by saying yes and amen, Lord.
Yes and amen.
Thank you for the new day. Amen. Be blessed. Give them heaven. I want to invite any of you that would like to receive prayer and just continue to walk in that place of receiving understanding about new trajectories, new freedoms, to come on forward. There's some beautiful women, and there will be some guys up here that are willing to pray for you. Otherwise, bless somebody, love on them, encourage them, and go and have an amazing week. God bless you.
Thank you, guys.